Well, our accommodations aren't great. Sure is beautiful out here.
Yeah, it's pretty romantic. I mean platonic. That sure is one platonic view.
Fry, just be quiet. I'm beginning to think this whole fake fiancé thing was a terrible, terrible...
Leela, perhaps this is an awkward time, but if things don't work out with this pipsqueak here, I just want you to know I'll be there to score you on the rebound.
Look, before you get any crazy ideas, that was for Zap.
Well, you got anything else for him?
All right. Can we try not to complicate this?
Mom, Dad, I'd like you to meet Fry, my boyfriend.
Let kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Yeah, it is in heaven.
There you go. How are you?
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We have on the line Billy West, who is the voice, I guess the man of 1,000 voices or so.
Yeah, maybe about 620.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to my children today, and of course I had to consult my 8 and 5-year-old on all my interviews, and I mentioned that I was talking to Billy West, who plays Fry on Fox's hilarious comedy series Futurama. And unfortunately for me, I didn't know one of the things you actually did. My son said to me, you know, Billy West is on CatDog.
Yes.
I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I see his name all the time on there.
Oh, yeah. I do the voice of Rancid Rabbit, who is the antagonist of CatDog.
How do you come up with these voices? I mean, do the people who are doing the cartoons say, Billy, I got a wild rabbit, I've got a coyote, I've got this, come up with a voice.
They show you pictures of the characters, and they give you a little bit of background on what the character is all about, like the likes and dislikes and personal history and emotional range and things like that. And then you just go in and you just try to, you know, pull something out of the hat that they'll like. And, you know, it's the way any actor would prepare for a role, except this is pure vocally, you know, just purely vocal, rather.
Now, in Futurama, you're actually a character, Fry.
Yeah, that's a voice I've never done in a cartoon before, which is basically my own voice, except he's a 25-year-old, and I'm 48.
But now, that character on the show is kind of a cool character. In fact, he got them in huge trouble because he spilled a beer on one show.
Yes, well, he's always, you know, I mean, he's sort of like the dodo factor. I mean, actually, there's a lot of grotesques on there to deal with, but you know, he wasn't making it in the 20th century, and suddenly he's in the 30th century, and he's not faring much better, you know.
Let's go back in time a little bit with Billy West. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
And when did you discover you could do all these cool voices?
Well, I grew up in the 50s, and I used to watch a lot of cartoon shows, and I would hear, you know, 20 voices or so in one cartoon, and then at the end of the cartoon, you'd see the names in the credits, and I would see two names, and it kind of blew my mind. It sort of stuck with me, and I was always running around making noises and doing stuff like that, imitating, you know, singers on the radio, and just very, very conscious of the sound medium. And, you know, I became a musician and sang and played guitar, and I get to do stuff on stage, and then it eventually led to a radio career. I was in Boston, and I was doing radio in 1980 all the way up until about 5 years ago.
Now, where in Boston were you?
WBCN, FM.
Wow. Were you with Charles Lacordaire?
Yes.
Oh.
That's where I started.
Cool.
And then I moved to New York in 1988 or 9, and I began working with Howard Stern.
Howard Stern? The
yes.
Name sounds familiar in radio.
Yes.
Hmm.
And I spent some time, you know, doing characters on his show and writing and doing voices. And
what kind of stuff were you doing? Give us an example of some of the voices you did on his show.
Well, I mean, they play real rough in that room. So the content is always pretty rough and tumble. I mean, but I was doing, you know, send-ups of whoever was in the news or whatever, whoever was making noise some way or another. It was very extemporaneous, and it was very organic because nothing was really scripted. It was just kind of on the fly. to do all these grotesques, you know, these screaming racists, you know, like Marge Schott was a character we were making fun of, and you know, stuff like that. I used to do like regular impressions of showbiz people like Jay Leno, and you know, have that kind of fun. But at that very same time I was working on that show, I had auditioned for Nickelodeon's new animation block, which included, in 1990, it was Ren and Stimpy and a show called Doug, and I got to star in both of them.
Hmm.
And so all of this was going on at the very same time.
So you eventually left the radio show. You didn't have time to do it, right?
Yeah, I eventually left and moved to L.A.
Let me ask you a question about Stern. I happen to be a huge fan of that show, and I think they work together pretty well. And I just want to know what it was like to work over there. What was Howard like and the rest of the crew?
Well, Howard, you know, was one of the nicest guys I ever worked in radio with. He was a very nice guy. He was almost reticent off the air. And, you know, whereas most guys are all happy and sunny on the air and everything, and then they get off the air and they're the worst human beings on the planet. But, you know, I don't know all that much about him personally. I just know that I watched the transformation, and it was sort of like, it's like WWF, you know? it's like pro wrestling.
Oh, it is. It's a big act.
Well, I mean, everybody's got an act of some kind. You cobble together some sort of personality that you want the world to see, and it might not have a whole lot to do with what you really like in real life.
Hmm. True.
Yeah.
So you left there. That's amazing. You were starring in two series at once, Ren and Stimpy and Doug.
Yes.
And they both were huge successes.
Yeah, they did very well, and I was really happy to be doing that work. Then I began doing a lot of commercials, and I got involved with a lot of big ad campaigns, like the M&M's campaign. I do the red M&M, and I was the voice of George Jetson in the Radio Shack commercials. And
the voice of Babe Ruth in the
Babe
Brisk,
Ruth
and
the Brisk commercials. Yeah,
that's a great one. I love that one.
That was one of the weirdest things I ever had to do. Because they didn't want me to try to sound like John Goodman. You know, he starred in that movie, The Babe. I mean,
right.
I had to listen to tapes of Babe Ruth. And he sounded like he had a potato stuck in his throat or something.
It was mostly a beer can.
Yeah, and a hot dog.
Mm. But you did a good job. I mean, you sounded like him.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
I thought it was pretty good. And it was a huge success, that commercial.
Yeah, those are really good because they stand out. They're black and white, which is a very stark image to see in today's MTV, you know, quick cut, jump cuts, fast forward, special effect generation. You know, black and white image kind of stops you cold.
Yeah. You know, Mel Blanc was the guy who did most of these things years ago. I assume you grew up watching him and listening to him.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Mel Blanc's. I actually got to meet him once in 1981, I think.
Hmm.
And that was, you know, I mean, I felt like I had stuck my finger in a light socket and had my chromosomes rearranged after I met him.
But you ended up doing some of the stuff that he's done.
Yeah, I have, and very grateful to be doing those things. But you know, Warner Brothers has a lot of different guys that do the character voices. So I mean, I did it for Space Jam. I did Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd in the movie Space Jam.
Give me a little bit of those guys.
And what's cooking, Doc? Oh, Mr. Bunny Wabbit, could you come here for a moment, please?
Now those are pretty. Mel Blanc made those things pretty famous. Everybody does those.
Yeah.
Right. So you were probably doing those when you were a little kid, right?
No, actually, well, a little bit, but I never really, you know, was a Bugs Bunny imitator, you know, per se. I think I'm more of a utility infielder. It's like whenever there's an assignment, I will just do my damnedest to try to fulfill the objective.
Well, you actually were the star of I used to love this series when I was a kid, and they made a movie out of it, which I wasn't really into as much, but Beanie and Cecil, you actually played the role of Cecil in the cartoon.
Yeah, that was in 1988. It was a redo of the old 1952 series.
I used to love that series.
Yeah.
It must have been kind of fun to do that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
And that's where I met a lot of the animators that I still continue to work with today, because they're always out there, you know, working on different projects.
Which one's your favorite to play, Ren or Stimpy?
Both of them, actually, because Stimpy was a big brain-dead cat, and Ren has a lot of rage. It was a great vehicle, you know? Hey, Ren, want a magic nose goblin? I picked them myself. Will you shut up, you fool? You idiot!
A little Bela Lugosi in that one, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, Peter Lorre, too.
Oh, Peter Lorre, yeah. Now, you're also the voice of Woody Woodpecker.
Get who? Which is a Fox Kids cartoon.
Yeah. You're doing so many things. It's just amazing, all these projects that you're involved with. But right now, the one we're talking about is the one on Fox. Now, that's on, what, Sunday nights?
Yeah, Futurama. It's on at 8:30, coming up this Sunday night. And I do the voice of Fry, and I do the voice of Professor Hubert Farnsworth, the 147-year-old great-great-great-great-grandnephew of that young idiot Fry. And Dr. Zoidberg, who's a crustacean doctor, who is not of this earth. And the voice of Zap Brannigan, starship captain extraordinaire.
I love that character. This is a very interesting show. I just saw the previews. I saw a couple episodes.
Yes.
It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And well written, too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And you know who I like? I like the lobster character.
Oh, Dr. Zoidberg.
Yeah.
Well, he's a doctor. You know, and I don't know what planet he's from. I can't tell you exactly, but he's a crustacean.
Do you do Quentin?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel your wife's ass. No, it's I feel your pain. I get the line wrong.
That's actually more accurate the way you just did it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember I used to do a lot of political stuff myself. And one time, John Rook and I ended up in California at the Comedy Store. He was doing... I think he was doing, like, I don't know who it was, Reagan. And I was doing Reagan. We had a battle of the Reagans on the stage. But, you know, everybody does political humor, you know.
Yeah.
And it's you know, like, a guy like Reagan is so easy to do impersonations of.
Yeah.
I assume you probably do Ronald Reagan as well.
Happy Easter.
We'll run. Yeah, it's easy to do. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
But Billy West starring right now in Futurama. It's on every Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. Check out your local listings to find out the affiliate near you.
Yes.
And Billy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and welcome back to Boston.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
At least on the phone, anyway.
Yeah, at least on the phone.
Take care, Billy.
All right, you take care, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Billy West, everybody, right here on PMPnetwork.com. And don't forget, we're sponsored by Chinatown of Brockton-Stoughton, and also our friends at Mesquite's Isuzu.